Welcome back to part two of Idle Hands, the most exciting episode that there ever hath been in Grey's Anatomy, everybody's favorite episode. Idle Hands. This is part two. Make sure you listen to part one. Make sure you visit greysacademypod.com to find our socials and our Patreon and all the things that you may need to know about us. You can find it there. And we are going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Oh, he killed himself for that one, guys.
I did. That really hurt.
We have two people.
The ATV girl's dad.
Yes.
The teacher.
Yes.
Fuck yeah! Man, and this episode of successful Living in Shondaland is brought to you by two people today. The solo unit of Kelsey and Carmen is one person. We're one entity because we are No Spoilies LLC. So we bring you that, and thank you. Do the follow, the likes, the subscribe, the all of that thing. Really helps us with the algorithms. Share on Instagram. Go steal your friend's phone and give a 5-star review. That's the first person. The second person is our friends at Shure for providing us with kick-ass equipment. So tell us about these human people, Kelsey.
Todd Stashwick plays Mr. Kramer. He was in one episode of Private Practice. I don't think you've gotten... Do you have any idea how far you are in that show?
Yeah, exactly where I've been.
Did you get to season 4?
Did I make it to season 4? I don't know.
I don't think you did. Anyways, he's in it. But
Cooper had a kid.
Yeah. I don't know when this...
I don't know. I feel like I just need to start from the beginning. I don't even know.
You do.
Yeah.
Guys, okay. I'm trying to bully him into it. Don't worry.
Well, she's been bullying me into watching, like recording myself watching these videos. So I have no free time anymore.
I am bullying him into that.
I need to take a vacation just to do the private practice.
I told Jessica that I need me and you to like lock ourselves in an Airbnb and record like 24 episodes of this, like an entire season of this show.
Yeah, so. It's honestly, and now we have the money where we could fund that.
It's true.
For the business. It's so, true.
Is it a tax write-off?
It's a write-off.
And then Annette O'Toole plays Mrs. Skirsky, and she was also in an episode of Private Practice. They were different episodes, but they were both in season 4.
Man, I wish they would have been the same episode. I wish they would have been married, and I wish they would have both been teachers. Actually, at Marlo's t-ball practice tonight, we sat next to a family. The daughter's name is Aurora. She was wearing an Ariel shirt, and they were big Disney people. She was a kindergarten teacher for 7 years. They were very lovely. Marlo was running around after the practice with this little girl, and we were talking to them, and it was great. So, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, she was a teacher. Yeah, kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because we were in the building where I went to kindergarten.
Crazy.
Yeah. So while in between episodes, I was eating some snick snacks. I had the Ritz cracker dunks, the dunky things. Also, I have to shout out the Oreo dunk, the dunk ones, because in the Ritz and in Oreos, the cheese Ritz crackers and the Oreo, the white frosting, they're both good on their own. When you get those and they're uninhibited by the wafer, by the cracker, and it's just a plastic tray of cheese or a plastic tray of the Oreo filling, there's something that hits it like just a dash of cocaine right in your body. Oh, it's just so good. I've never had cocaine, so I guess that's not a great analogy. It hits you like a delicious food hits you. I guess is the best way that I can describe the food that hits you. So, but it's great. I'll just sit there with my finger and just scoop the remaining Oreo cream filling out and just fucking eat it right off my fucking finger. It's just so good. Anyways, okay. Now that I've shared some of my most intimate details of my life, yeah.
My eyeball is itching.
Cancer Kid. Let's talk about Cancer Kid.
Pablo. He's a
funny name?
Guy. Yeah. Yes. He's 12. He has a crush on Joe.
Who doesn't? Am I right?
And so he's harassing the shit out of Jason. Because he's mad that Joe dates him.
Mm-hmm.
And he like pulls out his IV line and sprays it all over Jason so that like it looks like he peed his pants. Classic.
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 Classic Pablo.
Then classic Pablo. And then Jason goes, "That's okay, little man." And he goes, "I'm not little. I'm 12. My growth was stunted by a lifetime of cancer." Hilarious.
So incredible funny. Timing. So good. Not funny the reality.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The funny, the comedic funny the acting.
Timing of it.
Yes.
The delivery. So that was funny. And then, so Alex is like, "Okay, that was funny." And he's like, "I gotta go get ready for the surgery." And he's like, "But what if instead we just continued to harass this doctor?" And
I think that's Alex when Alex is like, "I got real
I'm
work.
I'm on board with that."
Is that when he and says, it's later when he goes, "Oh, just denying a cancer kid's dying wish."
Yeah. He's like, "Or you could, yeah, give me what I want. I do have cancer, you know." This kid gets it. This kid is like, yeah. I know how to play the card.
Diabolical.
Incredible. And so then Alex spends most of the episode harassing Jason in various ways. So sometimes, but for a while it's just paging him with no one, like, without saying specifically who. He's just paging him to various places, and then he's just like, "Who paged me? Who paged me? Who paged me?" And then he's like, "Hey, you need to go to the emergency room and see genitalia."
When he says, "This time I've got a name," and he goes, "It's for Talia," I was like, "Oh no, I know where this is going. You're predictable, Karev and Pablo." And when he goes, "Jenny Talia," it's just so, it's chef's kiss. It's so funny. I love it.
Did you chuckle?
Oh yeah. I had a good belly laugh followed by intense cough vomits after that. So
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because of the dying.
Right.
And I think that's the scene where they see Weber and Alex run away.
Weber.
Oh, no. That's before.
No,
that's
Weber later. Shows up and is like, "This is immature and pathetic. You're better than this. Step up your game." And then,
oh, this is so good.
Fucking
so
kills
good.
Me. So they send out a fake memo to Jason, I guess. That's like, "You've been randomly selected to drug test. Give your pee to Dr. Bailey." So he
upping the game. It really is upping the game.
I mean, Weber knows what he's doing. This is a funny little Weber moment. He's not in this episode much, but what he is, worth it. Big payoff. And so Jason waltzes up to Bailey at the nurse's station and is like, "Here you go," and just slides his pee with just too much confidence. And she's like, what, how could you do this?" And he's like, "The memo said that you're in charge of the random drug test. Would you rather me put it on your desk?" To which she replies, "If you want to die," which is fucking incredible and could not be more hilarious. Like, that is so funny. I will be responding with that for as much as I possibly can in the coming weeks.
And honestly, even for good things, just let's do a little bit less work around here, you know? Yeah. Like, "Hey, do you want me to put this bill on the counter? If you want to die."
Yeah.
"Hey, do you want to go to another walkthrough with just the bride's mom and the groom's mom?"
Oh my god.
"If you want to die."
Yeah, that was a good one. And so, yeah, it was funny. And then, Bailey catches on, right? Oh, yeah. No, then Callie comes over and then so she thinks she's praying him. Never mind. Okay. And then, so later on, was there another one or was
well, the Bailey one? No, that was the last one. But that's when he sees Weber and Alex laugh and run away.
Yeah. And then he goes up to Alex later and Weber runs away. And that's so funny.
So funny. But also, this scene is actually pretty intense.
I don't like it.
No, I'm not a fan of Chesty McPexy's response on this one. Not good.
That does not feel great. Bit of a red flag on that one.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you think you're so funny? Well, I'm going to go fuck Joe in the bar. Have fun laughing about it.
Yeah. What does he say? Alex is like, oh, yeah, it's so crazy. The kid's got a crush on her. And he goes, well, you two have fun laughing about it while I'm nailing her in the bathroom at the fucking bar. Cold-blooded, first
also
off.
Also gross.
Gross. It's a bathroom bar. Joe getting banged at Joe's? The irony's not lost on me, first off. Second, can we just take a moment and say that this is actually some cold shit that Alex would say in full douchebag mode to another person? So I don't feel bad that Alex is getting the brunt of it. It just sucks because I love Joe.
Yeah.
And Alex loves Joe.
Yeah, and I don't... Yeah, this guy, that's a weird, like... Well, he also says, because he's like, oh, the kid has a crush on Joe. And Jason's like, oh, yeah, the kid has a crush on her.
Yeah, so he knows.
I'm gonna go fuck her.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah. It's weird.
This is, this is a kind of comment that is in Eli territory. I don't like it. It's icky. The intense over man comment is not good.
It's a little ownershipy, which I don't
aggressive.
Love. Yeah. Also, it's uncouth. Like he knows that Alex and Joe are good friends.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't feel like the move to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, not cool.
Gross. Okay, so yeah, there's not much else with Pablo. They're just kind of harassing Jason the whole episode.
Yeah, it's
Genitalia.
Genitalia. So paging Dr. Hawksbig. Dr. Mike Hawksbig. Actually, did I ever tell you about the time that I sent that text to Cindy?
Yes.
So for any of you out there who have not heard this story, I don't know if I've told it here. I might have told it on Deep Thoughts. But so my stepmom, Cindy, had voice to text set up in her car. And she's like, she's the kind of boomer who still calls Navstar. Or Navstar, what is it? Navstar, whatever that is, the GPS system. Oh. OnStar, not Navstar. It's the OnStar navigation, and she calls them, and they like satellite in the GPS to her screen on her car instead of just Bluetoothing her phone and the GPS from Google Maps because she is an Android. Rest in peace.
Gross.
Yeah, terrible. To her car, but she had all of the voice to text set up, and I sent her a text, and it was basically like, "Hey, I ran into someone today. I don't know if they said they know you, but it was Dr. Hawksbig, X, Y, and Z. So yeah, if you know a Dr. Mike Hawksbig, like just give me a call." And she calls me, and I think she was peeing in the car. From laughter.
Didn't she have other people in the car with her?
It was Tom, her now husband, and I think his son and his now wife and mother of their child. So they were in the car and they heard me send a text that out loud says Mike Hawksbig, and everyone was rolling, and it was incredible. And I am just so
Armin
proud
has
of
an
myself.
Obsession with the name. Like, he's like, if I was a doctor, my name would be Dr. Mike.
I'd legally change my name. I would have to deal with all of the stuff that women everywhere are going through in this post-apocalyptic universe where Trump makes you have extra ID for changing your name after you get married. I would change it to Dr. Mike Hoxbig. First name Dr. Mike, last name Hoxbig.
So anyways, so those were the
pranks.
It's
just so funny.
The if you want to die really took me out. Weber running away when Jason came over really took me out. So that was like a nice moment of entertainment in this episode that I was mostly otherwise not very entertained during.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think other than that, as far as patients go, they have like the motorcyclist that comes in and then they do the low docs. And then Meredith is again like very stressed about her pregnancy, which I really understand. I was kind of not like, I wouldn't say quite as aggressive about it because mainly like I didn't have the medical background, but I did like stress, especially going to every doctor's appointment. Like I was very upset, like nervous, anxious going into every doctor's appointment. And specifically with Wyatt, when we did the 22 week where they do the anatomy scan to make sure all like the organs are growing, the position she was laying in, they like could not get a good view of her heart. And it was like the last thing they did. And I mean, it was like 10 minutes of just silence in the ultrasound room. And Michael and I were like, this baby doesn't have a heart, which is ridiculous because we had like seen the heartbeat for 20 weeks.
For sure.
But it was so stressful. And so I do understand like Meredith, you know, she's just her life in general is kind of like bad things happen. She has gone through a miscarriage. Her sister is dead. You know, it's just not like things don't always go great for her. So I do understand her mindset of just kind of like assuming the worst. And she does say that she's kidding. And then she's like, kind of. And it's kind of like, oh, I just want to be prepared. But Derek's like, then let's like know what is happening. So I did think that I liked that. He was like, why don't we just go and like find out, like make sure the baby's okay. Because, I mean, probably even more so now, because even more in this pregnancy than in my pregnancy 6 years ago, you know, you can find out a lot when you're pregnant. But even in 2013, you could still find out a lot during pregnancy.
Totally, yeah.
From just ultrasounds and blood work and stuff. So they go, the baby's, you know.
Totally fine, beautiful. Good. And it's all, well, Derek also
has
gets
a little baby wiener.
He gets, yeah, it's a little baby boy with a little penis, 11 fingers. And, but you know, it's Derek gets to the point where he's like, woman, please stop bringing down the vibe. Like,
yeah,
we own a hospital. Let's run a test.
Yeah. Let's make
woman
feel better.
So anyways, yeah, it's a nice little resolution to that storyline. She does have a couple of moments, one off with Christina where, you
and
know,
Alex.
Like, Yep.
When they're like naming all the things the baby could have.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a funny scene. Like Alex actually like leans into it and he's like,
yeah, Alex is like, that's way too rare. It's definitely going to be this other thing. And Christina's like, well, I'll just fix it. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. And actually that was a nice moment because for the first time in a long time, Alex is kind of like part of the banter again. So there was, I think that was representative of the healing and the forgiveness journey that he's going on.
Forgiveness.
They're doing the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet uptown. I actually was listening to the Battle of Yorktown on Hamilton Street in Chicago today. Not planned.
Wow. Did you like the Chicago shout out in this episode? Bailey says, I want to build us a genome mapping center, and it'll be for less money than Chicago's cost.
It wasn't really a shout out as much as it was like a backhanded way of trying to get your own money. So, no. In fact, Bailey went down a notch in my book.
No.
But she went up two notches for her If You Want to Die.
Yeah, that was so good.
So, but anyways, that, yeah. So Meredith's got these scenes with Alex and Christina, very cute. There's a scene later on that actually involves Christina and Bailey. And Meredith's like, I can't talk to the baby because apparently I just piss it off and it wants to, you know, stab its foot knife through my placenta right into the world here. So she asks Christina to talk to it. And she's like, no, wait till it has a period or if it has a penis, I'll figure something out to say. And then Bailey walks in and is
hold on, because we got to figure out the thing she says about the penis is so funny.
What did she say?
She says, well, she says, wait till it gets its first period. I'll take that off your plate. Or if it has, or if he has a penis, I'll tell him not to think with it.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Because so many of the men in this show just do.
And like
life.
World.
And yeah, life. Not me. I've never once thought with my penis. Ever.
So then, so Bailey also has been pitching to everyone that's on the board this whole episode about getting a genome lab. And she like has a pitch ready to go. Like she's done her work. She's not just off the cuff asking for this. So she comes in and she starts talking to the baby. And she kind of gives her pitch to the baby so that Meredith has to listen to it. And then Christina realizes she was mad earlier because someone she went to med school with got published. And she called him
Marcus
a high-functioning moron. And Meredith, he looks smart. And so she gets mad because then she goes to Russell. And he's like, oh, yeah, let me show you what I'm working on. And she's like, oh, cool. I'm so excited to work with you on this. And he's like, no, definitely give me money. And
I was so annoyed at that, but I want you to know I saw that a mile away. The second he was like, why don't you go ahead and do the lotus valve, Christina, Dr. Yang, incredible person you are. And then she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so flattered. I'm honored. And then he's like, you see, you get it. Now give me $12 million. Mwahaha. It was
and
just
crazy. And
she's
like, in fact, I will take money away from you. And you have to give me all the work because I want to do work. Jackson also in this episode kind of has a moment of like, oh, I'm going to go get to be a doctor today. So kind of like the board aspect does already seem to be wearing that on them. So that's worth noting.
To say the least.
And so, Miranda pitches to everybody and they keep turning her down. And then she finally pitches to Meredith via the baby. And Christina's like, oh, wait, I can use this to my advantage. So she cuts Russell's funding so that he has to give her all the work. And then they give Bailey the genome lab. And so she's excited. And
yeah, she cuts four people. She cuts four humans so that she can do surgery.
Yep.
Kind of fucked up a little bit.
Yep.
But also, like, she's the boss.
Yep.
Capitalism.
And so, is there anything else with the Meredith and the Bailey genome?
Well, and there you started to touch on it a little bit, but you were getting your scenes crossed up. So, at the end, when Bailey, like, tells Chestington Bear to like kick rocks, Callie walks up and goes, hey, you've got the funding. And she thinks she's getting punked, and she isn't. And it's like just genuine happiness.
Yeah, she's very excited.
So,
she feels passionately
so
about this project. I believe this was, if you'll recall, two or three episodes ago when they were in the midst of selling to Pegasus the first time. And she's like, they have the patient and she's like, oh, we can do this really quick. And then we'll have like a targeted chemo plan basically for your child. And then Hunt turns it down. And so then she tells the dad, like, take your kid somewhere else because like we're a shit hospital. I believe she wanted to do genome mapping on that kid. I believe
she
that's like
did,
kind
yes.
of where it comes from. That's like what's stemming this whole like desire to have this lab.
That's when she tells you, if you want to do right by your kid, leave this frickin' hospital and go somewhere that's going to do some shit.
Yeah. So, so now they're going to have one and on site. So that's great. And then, so while all this is happening, Arizona has a new prosthetic, which I wanted to read this out from the little pagey page. Hold on, where'd it go? The new prosthetic that Arizona wore in this episode was created by a Step Ahead prosthetic. Amy Palmiero Winters, a program director of the company, flew the prop to LA and consulted with the show during the filming of the episode. Now, I don't know how that works with Jessica Capshaw having two legs, but they did. I do think that it's cool that they got like a true consult from essentially an expert in the area to come and help them with it on the show. I do like that. Again, it kind of just goes in hand with Shonda's passion for true representation on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we love to see that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to note that. So Arizona has a new leg. She can wear heels with it. She got a poppin' booty. She looking good. She feeling good. And then, feeling a little horny. Okay.
Says, I'm trying to smush my wife. Which, what's the timeline on actual sexual relations? Is it?
No idea.
Long
Could not
time.
Be less clear.
Not since the plane crash.
I don't think
is
so.
Is my impression.
I don't know for sure. I think that's probably a fair assumption at this point, based on the way things have been portrayed.
It sounds like the farthest that they have gone is the high school makeout session.
Yeah. A little touchy touch.
Yeah.
A little smoochy smooch. So, she's like kind of laying the groundwork. She's like, ooh, maybe we smush tonight. And then she's like, ooh, my leg hurts. And Callie's like, ugh, we're not going to have sex, which, okay. Honestly, both reactions aren't ideal.
No.
Everyone's just having big feelings, which is valid because, again, it's an adjustment. It's a process. They are kind of not communicating with each other it feels like they're not doing it to save each other's feelings, but ultimately it's hurting each other's feelings.
Yeah.
Arizona still doesn't want to be a patient. Callie still wants to be helpful. So there's a lot of back and forth about it. And then Arizona's like, this is not what I want to be doing. You know, like, I don't want to make these promises and then pull back. And Callie's like, why don't you just let me help you? And so she finally lets Callie like take off the leg, take a look. And she's like, the prosthetic isn't the issue. It's the limb. Like, I know how to help. Like, this is literally my job. Like, I can help you with this. So she lets her. And then it's actually like a very sweet and intimate moment in like an emotional intimacy way.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first time it just, the first time after Scarlett was born, the first time I gave birth, there's just like a lot that for me in my recovery, there was a lot that Michael had to help with. And just like from a partner standpoint, there's like another level of intimacy and like care of having someone help you through a recovery in that aspect. And so I just think that it's just another part of a relationship that you like grow through together. And that's what this was. And I feel like they were portraying that.
Yeah.
So even though it's not the sexuals, it is still very intimate. And like, because Arizona was so hesitant, it's still like sharing something with Callie. And I do think there's still like a great deal of meaning to both of them for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I even like in the midst, one of the things I think Grace does really well is you get these very high emotional scenes and then there's a brevity to it. And so you have this emotional scene, Arizona's being vulnerable in a way that she hasn't. I don't think I've seen Arizona let anyone other than the prosthetic doctor really touch her limb. Alex touched it, but not in an intimate way. It's very different. And when she goes, thank you, Callie, and Callie's like, whoa, 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 right now I'm Dr. Torres. Yeah. It kind of just, you know, it makes you smile and makes you kind of just really sit there and appreciate the moment. And then think also to Dr. Mr. Feeney when he says, I'm not Craig. I'm Dr. Mr. Feeney. Rest in peace. I saw a post come up about them. They had some reunion.
Like
not
a
too
little
long
reunion,
ago.
Yeah.
Topanga and him and everyone but the guy who played Corey, which is weird.
You think you're too good for Feeney? There's gotta be tea.
I think he's in the Epstein files.
Oh no, don't say that. We're gonna get sued for defamation.
Obviously that's a joke. I don't know for fact anyone other than Epstein being in the Epstein files. We are not lawyers, we're not doctors, and this is all satire. So to make up for it, capitalism, take it away. Thank you, capitalism. The capitalism is not in the Epstein files.
Well, capitalism started it.
Yeah, it's fair.
Okay, so
what happened to Diddy? Is Diddy back? We still hate him, right?
We do still hate him. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I thought.
But he basically got not guilty on everything. Ugh, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Just believe women. Okay. So, yeah. What else do we need to talk about? Anyways, oh, then later on they go home and Callie puts Sophia to bed and then comes in the room and Arizona's in her sexual undies. And so then they have the sexual times.
Yeah, she's like, I need you to massage my leg again. But the funny thing about my leg is it's located right on my puss.
In my vajiji.
So, I'm led to believe they do it. So
I also was led to believe that. I agree. I do think they had the sexy times together.
It's also worth pointing out, giving credit where credit is due, to Arizona's hair in this scene. Very nice.
Lovely.
So, okay. Yeah, it's...
Oh, also, Bailey went up to Jackson and was like, I was wrong about you. I thought you were going to be ass at this, and you're actually really great at it.
Because you approved my request.
Yeah. Oh, and they do finally put Heather in the Lodox machine and find her marble that she ate when she was like 7 or some shit.
That is crazy. Let's get those kids who ate pennies in the Lodox and see what happens. This thing cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, they said.
The only thing we didn't super get into is April really wanting to fuck Matthew and Meredith being like, well, you definitely should. God wants you to. And April being like, that's bad advice.
Yeah, that was so funny. When she's like, you know, everything happens for a reason. Maybe God wanted you to ride the ride so you could take Matthew for the first time. And she's like, stranger danger, need to leave.
Yeah.
Does not compute.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we talked about everything.
I think so, too. I also, fuck.
You having a stroke?
In the beginning, want to also call out Derek when he said, when they're talking about, he's telling the fly fishing story to the baby, which is a good full circle moment when it comes back to Shane. And Demirta is like, it doesn't even matter. She's going to be blind. She can't go fishing. And he's like, blind is fine. And she's like, oh no, the baby can't even hear you because the baby's deaf. And Derek's like, deaf is fine. Helen Keller went to Harvard, he says. And I'm like, okay, like, you know what? That Derek, you're good. Good he's job.
He's a good episode in this one. This is a good Derek episode. Is the sentence I was trying for there.
You did great. I think you're amazing. And thanks. The scene where in the beginning when they're all like around the portrait that the tarp is there and they're like, oh, we should have an unveiling ceremony. And Weber is like, I love this logo. It's a stroke of genius. A masterclass in the art of marketing coffee sleeves. Incredible. And he's like just going on and on and on. And then they're like, yeah, let's have a speech for the new logo up here. The painters left it. And Jackson just takes it down and goes, get back to work. That's the fucking speech.
Yeah, get back to work. End of speech.
Idiot. And then he says, everyone make sure to compliment Arizona's butt with the new leg. And Weber's like, it's a fine gluteal.
Gluteal area.
So it's funny. It's funny stuff.
Yeah.
There's some good one-liners. And I think
there were some good one-liners.
We didn't really, I mean, we glossed over it with the content, but Owen is back in charge.
Yes.
And obviously the OR is back open.
Owen says that Lodox machine was hundreds of thousands of dollars, and surely it had to be in the millions.
Is a Lodox machine real?
I don't know, but like, any machine that would do that surely would be in the millions.
Let's see. Yes, the Lodox machine is real. What is the cost? How do we find the cost?
a full-body low-dose digital x-ray system developed in South Africa.
The Lodox, which can do a body scan in about 13 seconds, costs $445,000.
Wow, I was wrong. I really thought that would be $1 million piece of machinery.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what? What's the most expensive medical equipment?
Surely those robots that do surgery.
Of all.
Stethoscope.
The most expensive single piece of medical equipment are complex imaging and therapy systems, with proton beam therapy devices costing well over $100 million, and advanced MRI machines potentially reaching similar high figures.
Eh, that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
All right, well,
proton beam therapy devices cost $100 million.
Okay, let me read. We have a quick teaching hospital from Alicia.
Love it.
She says, this week's teaching hospital theme is quick. Surprisingly, most medical things in the episode were actually well explained. MCA is middle cerebral artery, a major blood vessel in the brain that delivers blood to the temporal, frontal, and parietal lobes. This is a common site for stroke in adults. So I believe that was something that was occurring to ATV child, Susie. Okay, so do you want to rate it?
Yeah, I'll start. It's just a 3. It's an episode.
Yeah. There's part of me that wants to make it less than a 3, but like it wasn't bad, but it was like not good.
Yeah,
I feel like it should be less than a 3, but it just feels so rude to give it under that.
I don't remember the last time we gave an episode under a 3. I think it was very early on.
It's only that one in season 4 where the intestines were in the hands. That's the only one that I've ever given under a 3. And this one's not that bad. But it's not good. I've given episodes way better than this a 3, so now I feel bad. I don't know. It's just not like a bad episode, but like it's really, really not a good episode.
It's just an episode.
It's so boring, you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. It's
for having a guy that's fully slams a doctor into the wall, this episode is boring.
Yeah.
It makes no sense that it would be that boring.
You'd think something would have happened past that. Yeah. Or like a cliffhanger, right?
Yeah.
Do we have questions about
only a couple. Hold on. What prank would you have pulled on Peckwell?
Big fan of the fake names with the pages. The P thing is not something I would have thought of.
But it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's a stroke of genius. I think they did it perfect. They did it perfect. Masterclass on pranking.
Yeah, I don't love pranks, so I don't know that I would do anything, but I like Bailey being mad at him, so. But I also, like, feel bad that she's involved, but also it's funny to me, so.
Yeah, he loses nothing from it. It's a no-lose situation. It does make Alex, who's the resident? Attending?
Fellow.
The fellow looked bad to another PEDS fellow, I believe.
Jason?
Jason, yeah, whatever he is.
He's OB.
Yeah, but is he a fellow? OB fellow?
I don't know if he's a fellow or not.
Whatever
he
it is,
though.
He
could either be a fellow or attending, I feel, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, whatever he is, though, it's, you know, it makes Alex look bad. And he's there. Yeah.
Okay. And then what do you think of Bailey cornering the board members the way she did, particularly interrupting Meredith during surgery? Was she inappropriate or just persistent? I think persistent. And also they have presented themselves as like, it's like we're accessible. Like we're one of you.
I think the surgery one was a little bit dastardly, but she wasn't hiding anything like Russell was. So yeah. I have respect on that end.
Yeah, what he did was worse. Also, I don't think she would do it in like a like a high stake surgery. At the time she went into the surgery, it was simply a gallstone surgery. And she says to Meredith, like, you can do this in your sleep. So had it been some, you know, like a Whipple or something, I don't think she would have done it. But because it was a simple surgery, she was like, well, I know that you're can listen to me while you do this. And then, you know, she ends up scrubbing it and helping Meredith try and do the resection later on. So I do think that I didn't think it was really overstepping. And I really think that they have established that was part of their pitch basically to everyone, is like, don't worry, we are saving the hospital. It's now a hospital run by doctors. So like, yeah, it's not, you know, all this bullshit admin, like suit kind of thing anymore.
Yeah. It's not run by the bean counters.
Yeah, it's run by us. We have the passion.
And we don't count beans. We count
hearts.
Oh.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Dicks.
Oh. Yeah, mine's better. Okay, so let's make predictions.
Something with this storyline with this dad is not over. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going to happen. It's not over, though.
Jason and Joe.
They're gonna break up. Alex is gonna hold a boombox outside of her apartment window in the rain, and he's gonna go have sex with her in a romantic setting, not in the bar bathroom.
So why do you think her and Jason will break up?
Because Alex is gonna say, this guy, Alex is gonna profess his love. He's gonna say, you shouldn't be with him, you should be with me.
Okay. And is that going to happen?
In the next... How many episodes till the finale?
Hold on. I think 6.
It's within the next... Alex will profess his love before the end of the season. It might be the cliffhanger of this. Left. It might be the cliffhanger of this season.
Okay.
Or he professes his love to her and then she's like, I'm pregnant.
Okay. What about Meredith and her baby?
Everything's good. Little baby boy.
What will she name him?
Thatcher.
It'd be a choice.
Elias Thatchismo.
Oh my god.
Derenald Leximus Markimus the Fourth.
Markimus.
Markimus. Gray.
Do you have an actual guess?
Probably Mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything with Christina and Owen?
Unfortunately,
they continue to
blur lines
as though what they do is normal.
Yeah. So I actually, out of principle, am going to refuse to make a prediction on Christina and Owen. Although what's funny is the little girl who I told you, her name was Aurora and Marla was running around and playing with her.
Yeah.
Her little brother's name was Owen. So.
Ugh. Yeah, he's really ruined that name for me.
One door closes, another Owen shuts.
If only. Am I right?
I think I messed up that saying a little bit.
And then... anything for the interns other than Joe? Any of the other interns?
No, but it's been nice to see Leah and Heather. We didn't see Steph at all in this episode.
No, we did not on this one.
So it's been nice to see Leah back a little bit. I like Heather. Yeah, Heather's funny. She's got kind of this like, she is mousy. And it's funny. It's perfect for her.
She's just a gooby little lady.
Yeah. A gooby gal.
A gooby gal. What about Jackson and Steph and also April and Matthew? Because she was talking about it, but he wasn't there.
I think I said this already. Matthew's going to find out, like April's going to tell him that she misrepresented her virginity journey and he's going to break up with her.
Ugh. Okay.
Which is sad. But you just got to be honest with people.
Yeah, it's true. You shouldn't lie. But sometimes you should lie. But not in relationships.
Yeah, or about sex. Just don't lie about sex, mostly.
Well, just in relationships, don't lie. But, like, sometimes it's fine to lie, but not to your partner.
Not even podcast partners. Don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I lie to Carmen all the time.
Oh, that's a lie.
That is a lie. I really don't lie to you.
I don't lie, period.
Well, that is a lie.
No. I wish you all could see Kelsey's face.
He lies. Lies like a dog.
Is it a lie if you believe it, though? Doesn't it just become your truth?
I think it then becomes disinformation.
Ah. Which we abhor here at...
Yeah. Well, there's the disinformation and misinformation.
We hate both.
They're both incorrect.
We abstain from both.
The difference is the intent. So one is if you just think something is correct and you can spread it, and there's no malintent. But when you know something is wrong and you spread it, then it's bad.
I don't really care if there's a malintent or malware. Don't do it.
I do care about malware. Please don't give me that. Do you have anything else to say? Guys, sorry these are short. This episode was dull.
If this is your favorite episode, email us, please.
Please, I have so many questions.
Yeah, I don't think I have much else. But if you see Pokemon cards, let me know. I need them.
I'm just going to let you know when I see them physically in a store and be like, oh, I saw a Pokemon card.
That's fucked up, dude. It's probably the one that I needed that would have helped me retire from Pokemon.
If you can get a Pokemon card that will help you retire, I'm keeping it.
Because you want me to keep spending money on it.
No, because I want the money.
Mm. Did you see the New York Times put out an article? It's like Pokemon cards have increased at a higher rate than the S&P 500 and now investors are taking it seriously. And I'm like, guys, can we just have a hobby? Please.
Stop making everything be for gain.
Guys, I know that this goes directly against all of the capitalism that we spew here, which is mostly in irony and jest. But life is not about the money.
Unfortunately, society tries to make it about the money, but we don't want it to be about the money.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, I think that's it.
Sign up for Patreon so we can talk more about how it's not about the money.
You can hear our cold open.
Today that is
I talked
true.
About crazy things that I'm dealing with in the wedding industry. And we've talked.
We got a little. Political. Silliness. Political
we
just too.
We do typically get a little more political over on Patreon. We also in the Discord. You know, lots of chit chats with our friends over there. But you can go to graysacademypod.com and find all the socials, the Patreon, the merch, all the things. Thanks so much for listening. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your support. Please share on the socials. Please reach out to us if you want to chat about anything at all. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember
that thing about the Pokemon cards I said 20 seconds ago. Remember that. But more importantly, no spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you all in the next one.